Hey everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the Living in Vancouver, BC podcast. I've created this space to bring you honest, practical advice about what it's really like to live in this city. Whether you're planning a move already here or just curious, this podcast is your go-to guide. So let's kick things off with one of the biggest challenges people face when coming to Vancouver. Renting in Vancouver is, well, complicated. Renting in Vancouver works differently than just about any other market, and that makes securing a rental here in Vancouver extremely challenging. If you aren't aware of how a rental market works, then moving to Vancouver is going to be a complete and unmitigated disaster. Keep in mind that understanding our rental market is important even if you're intending on purchasing in the long run, because everyone, when they're moving to Vancouver, is going to need to rent even for a very short time. And I'm going to explain exactly what I mean in this podcast. We're going to get into the kind of housing you're going to find, how much it's going to cost you, but more importantly, how you can find it and secure it and not get scammed in the process. And all of this is updated for 2025. Let's get into it right now. My name is Sebastian Albrecht with the Living in Vancouver BC team, and welcome back to the channel. This channel is all about moving to and living in Vancouver. And every week I put out podcasts just like this one. This week, we're getting deep into the topic of rentals in Vancouver to help you understand the rental market, which honestly is really critical whether you're looking to rent long-term when you move here or you have the capacity to purchase a home here. But more often than not, when people first arrive, you're going to be renting, whether that is a longer-term rental or a short-term rental. And so without further ado, let's get right into it. All right. So to begin with, I think the best place to start is really giving you an understanding of what kind of properties there are out there to rent. And there's a massive variety, and Metro Vancouver is an enormous area. So there's a lot of variation throughout Metro Vancouver. But the most important distinction that I can really come up with is that there are the two distinct types of properties that you're going to be looking at. One is owned by individual mom and pop type of investors. And so they may own just one property that they rent out, might be a couple, maybe up to half a dozen. I mean, it's unusual in a market as expensive as Metro Vancouver that an individual owns that many properties. And then the other kind of ownership that you might be dealing with are corporately owned properties. And these are typically larger buildings. So typically a building that has 10 plus units in it, that is more likely to be owned by a corporation and is typically an apartment building. Going back to those individually owned properties, it could be anything from a full house to a basement suite within a house or a unit within the house. It could also be a half duplex. It could be a laneway house, it could be a townhouse, or it could be a condo. But they're typically one unit within a larger structure, and the people you're dealing with only own that one unit, most likely. Now, the advantage of this kind of situation is that more often than not, you can have a personal relationship with those people, and that can be a positive. Sometimes it could also be a negative because it's hard to predict how that individual on the other side is going to behave. They're not professionals, and it could be a 75-year-old gentleman who has very particular ideas of how he wants his property managed and how he wants it run, and you're most likely dealing with that individual. They're most likely not hiring a professional property manager just to manage that one property. That is something that's pretty unusual in our market. And as a result, that person, that individual on the other end, may not be aware of what all the rules and regulations are. And you can get some unusual relationships, unusual circumstances that aren't going to really be for everyone. Now, it's important when you're dealing with those individual owners that you understand what the rules are, what your rights are, and remind them of it, because not all the time will they be aware. And these rules and regulations change all the time. So that's one of the nuances of renting from those individuals. But one of the, I would say, pretty clear cons of renting from an individual is that you're probably more likely to lose your home as time goes on. Because most people that are individual investors don't keep that property for a very long period of time. Our market is a pretty fluid market in terms of residential real estate. And so one of the key ways that you could lose your home is that a new owner purchases that property and that owner wants to move into the property. As a result, you could lose your home to the owner's use, and you might find yourself on the street. And this is a more likely scenario when you're renting from an individual. The other option is renting from a corporation. And so corporations typically will be the people that you're dealing or the entity that you're dealing with when you're looking at renting in what's an apartment building. Rather than them only owning one unit in a larger structure, they own the whole structure and then they rent out all of the units within it. And it might be that they own a house that might have four, five, six units within it. That's a little less common in our market that would be a corporation. But what's more common is if it's a rental building. And so an apartment building that you might find in Kitsilano or in the West End is more likely to be owned by a larger corporation, and then it's more likely to be professionally managed. And as a result, they are most likely going to be following the rules more closely, and they're going to be aware of what their rights are and what your rights are, and they're less likely to overstep those because they can get in a lot of trouble. And there's very strict rules about what you're allowed to do as a landlord, specifically in Metro Vancouver and British Columbia generally. And so you might find that it's a little easier to deal with a corporation. Now, part of the downside is that typically, up until fairly recently, these corporately owned rentals tend to be the older buildings. They tended to have been built in the 60s, 70s, maybe 80s, and they're more likely to have shared laundry. They're less likely to be sort of modern buildings. They might have single pane windows. Rents, though, typically because they are older, will also often just be at the lower end. So these corporately owned properties, though, as much as I said, they can be older buildings, they're actually now in the last 5 years or so, there are more and more of these purpose-built rental buildings that are owned by corporations being built throughout Metro Vancouver. There's more incentives for developers to build these. There's less of a market for condos to be built and sold to end users who are going to be buying property. And so you are seeing, as much as these traditionally have been older buildings, now we're seeing a whole slew of newer buildings being built for the purpose of renting. And so you're going to find these throughout Metro Vancouver as well. But of course, because these are newer buildings, these are going to be much more expensive. They're going to be probably more expensive than a lot of the individually owned condo units that are for rent in the market, because those are typically a little bit older. And so when you're dealing with the individual owners, more likely that, especially when they're in condo buildings, more likely they're in newer buildings where you have not shared laundry, but you have in-suite laundry, and you probably have a parking stall, and you might have some kind of amenities. But then of course, your rents are higher as well. Going back to those corporately owned properties, you're much less likely to be evicted because of the owner's use. I mean, it's a corporation. They can't argue that they're moving into the property. But what does happen a little more commonly with these corporately owned properties than with the individually owned properties is that you could be rent evicted. And this is a very challenging process for the landlord to go through. It's not very easy. They have to get approval from the landlord tenancy branch. They're required to give you 4 months notice and then the last month free. It's happening much less commonly these days than it used to be, especially as our real estate market is a little bit softer. There's no intense pressure for this to happen. So just something to keep in mind when you're looking at the differences between the different types of rental properties that are out there. The other thing to be aware of in our market, and this isn't specific to Vancouver really, but we do have a very distinct category of short-term rentals, and then we have a very distinct category of long-term rentals. And this is even more the case in recent years as there's greater restrictions and legislation around what can be a short-term rental. So there aren't that many short-term rentals in our market that are nightly rentals in the city of Vancouver specifically and in the surrounding municipalities. Most of these municipalities are putting really strict restrictions on how long they want these units to be rented. It's much less likely that you're going to find a condo as an example. There's very few stratas that allow short-term rentals. It's much more likely that you might find a unit within a house that allows short-term rentals. But even then, a lot of these short-term rentals aren't nightly rentals, but actually sort of in the 1 month to 3 month range. And that's what I would categorize as a short-term rental. These short-term rentals, the rents are, everything is included. So you get all the furniture, it's going to be furnished. You don't need to bring your own. And also utilities are typically going to be included. So whether that is, they're all going to have electricity, but you might also have gas included if there's a fireplace or a stove that uses gas or a barbecue, and internet as well. Now, in order to find these, the way that you typically will find them is going through something like Airbnb or VRBO. And there is a little bit of certainty around finding properties that way. There's insurance through Airbnb. People have been vetted through Airbnb and VRBO. So you can feel a little more confident in the people that you're dealing with. And finding one of these short-term rentals is probably easiest way to find something from a distance. And I'm going to talk about that a little more in a bit. But getting a rental in Vancouver is really, really challenging if it's a long-term rental and you're not here physically. So the way to get around this is secure a short-term rental before you get here and use that as a stepping stone. Now, I also just want to mention before I get too deep into that, that aside from these VRBO and Airbnb options, we also have longer-term hotel stay options. So typically a hotel in Vancouver is going to be a nightly rental, but there are options like Level is a corporation that owns a couple long-term stay hotels in Vancouver where you can rent at a minimum of a month and you could rent for 6 months if you wanted. And these are furnished, you can bring pets, lots of options like that. So these short-term stay options options, whether it is an individually owned condo that is rented short term, or a suite in a house, or one of these longer term stay hotels. To me, it's an ideal transition into moving to Vancouver, because you can do it from a distance. You don't really need to worry too much about getting scammed, and it allows you to move to Vancouver without the pressure of needing to find something that's long term. And it allows you to sort of test drive the neighborhood that you're in, right? And explore the city a little bit. And I would say, you know, my advice typically when people are moving here is arrange something like a short-term rental for at least the first month, even if it's just a backup, but ideally anywhere in that 1 month to 3 month range. And that's whether or not you're looking for a long-term rent or whether you're looking to purchase here. And especially if you're looking to purchase, these short-term rentals are a really critical aspect that will relieve all kinds of pressure, because there's so much complexity to spending so much money on a home in Metro Vancouver when you're moving from somewhere else. So give yourself a bit of a break, find a short-term rental. It'll create some certainty and it will relieve a lot of the pressure. And it's really an easy transition because you don't need any of your stuff. You know, you can just settle in into that short-term rental. It's furnished. You have nothing to worry about. And then you begin the process of really seriously looking for a home from there. And so if you are moving to Metro Vancouver and you're thinking of buying a home, of course, I can help you find that home. I'm a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families move to Metro Vancouver, find the right neighborhood and purchase the right home. I can help you and your family as well. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. But for now, let's get back to the podcast. All right. And of course, there's the short-term option, but there's also the more traditional long-term option. And I categorize anything greater than 6 months as being a long-term option. And there's more and more long-term options in our market. So in fact, in the middle of 2025, which is where we find ourselves right now, it's probably one of the weakest, the softest rental markets that we've had in much of my lifetime. I'd say probably in the last 25 years or so. And for most of the last 25 years, our market has hovered around that 1% vacancy rate. Today, looking at the city of Vancouver, we're close to about 3% vacancy. The vacancy rate is the highest, really, or close to the highest that I've really ever seen it. And that means rental rates are down a little bit. And part of the reason is that we've seen, just because of a number of interventions by various levels of government, the supply of rentals in the market has been increasing, and specifically long-term rentals. These rentals typically are, of course, greater than 6 months. They're less likely to be furnished. They're almost always not going to be furnished. And they're also less likely to include utilities. So more often than not, most of the time, unless you're a suite in a house, but most of the time you're going to be paying your own utilities in these rentals. And most of the time you're going to need to bring your own furniture. And as I said, this is the most common option. This is what you're going to find all over Metro Vancouver. So if you're looking for a long-term rental, this is the kind of market you want to be looking in. All right. So now we get into one of the most tricky parts of renting in Vancouver, and that's actually finding the rental. I did mention that our market is relatively soft. It's actually a pretty good time to be a tenant in Vancouver. You have options. They're out there. But the thing that you need to understand is there's nobody that's going to professionally help you find that rental. In some other markets, there's professionals that offer services. They get paid through the process. Similar to the way that I work when I help somebody purchase a property, I get paid by the seller when the transaction happens. That happens in other markets for rentals. Unfortunately, in Vancouver, that's not something that happens. In our system, there's no commission offered to the rental agent. So as a result, nobody is doing that professionally because they're just not getting paid for it. And so if you're moving here, a lot of people find this incredibly challenging, right? You don't know where you're going. You don't know the market at all. And there's nobody that's professionally giving you advice, which is why I make this video, so that I can at least, you know, I can't do this professionally, but I can offer you my insights into the market from my point of view, from my perspective. So if you want to be moving here and finding a rental, you do need to be here physically. Nobody's going to rent to you if you're not already here. And if they're offering to rent to you, more than likely, that's going to be a scam. We're going to talk a little more about avoiding scams in a bit. But my number one piece of advice is you have to be physically here. And whether that means, as I suggested, coming here and renting a short-term rental first, you're going to avoid getting scammed, you're going to get your feet on the ground, and then you're going to be able to be here physically searching for property and be able to secure the property that you like quickly, because you can show up at any door at any time. Or if you're able to do a trip ahead of time, so do a little bit of a research trip, right? So let's say you're planning on moving in 3 months. Well, maybe in a month you can come here, you and your wife or your partner can fly up here or over here and do a little bit of scouting and understand the city and get your feet on the ground once again. Now, you're not going to be able to get get a rental that far in advance, if that timeline is 3 months and you're here in just a month, you typically can't rent 2 months in advance. You typically have to be here in the month that you're planning on renting, or at least at the beginning. If you're looking for a rental on July 1st, you want to be here in June. That's typically the month that you want to be here. If you're here in May looking for a rental that starts July 1st, more than likely that's not going to be possible. You're probably going to have to start renting it sooner and pay for that extra month. And that's something that people do in our market, just to make sure that they can secure the home that they want. Now, more often than not, so if we're not hiring somebody to do this for us, if we're not able to hire somebody that's going to go out and scout and gauge properties for us, how do you find them? Well, for the most part, you're going to be looking at websites. And the best websites to be using are Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. Those are where the vast majority of rentals are going to be placed, whether they're individually owned or whether they're owned by corporations. Both of those probably are going to double up on both locations. I prefer Facebook Marketplace a little more because you know their person on the other end is vetted. They're less anonymous. So it's less likely that you're going to get scammed. I'd say a place like Craigslist or any website where people can be basically totally anonymous, that's where there's more likely to be the potential for scams. So just keep that in mind. Then the other option is looking at the MLS and any realtor's website that interacts with the MLS. There are rentals that get posted on the MLS. We do have property managers that are representing the landlords and they're advertising those units. And so you can search on the MLS, but it's a very small percentage of the entire scope of rentals that are out there that are going to be on the MLS. And more than likely, they're going to be doubling up. They're going to be putting it on the MLS, but they're also going to be advertising on Craigslist and on Facebook Marketplace. There's all sorts of other websites and there's all sorts of apps that are out there, but typically all of these other options, they're kind of aggregators. They're pulling data from these locations and presenting them. And I don't know, if you prefer an app, then go for it. You know, it's not, there's nothing wrong with it. It's essentially a middleman and there's no need to deal with that. You might as well just go to Craigslist or to Facebook Marketplace. The newspaper, of course, is another option, but there is a small percentage of potential landlords that are out there. You know, that example that I gave you earlier about the 75-year-old who owns a single rental unit, well, they're probably not posting on Craigslist or on Facebook Marketplace. And so they're probably still putting ads in the newspaper. Now, this is not going to be your best bet, but it's also one of the unusual things, right? There's not as many people that are going to be scouring newspaper ads as the people that are scouring on the internet. So you might find a needle in a haystack by looking at newspaper ads. And the other way to find a needle in the haystack is just the old-fashioned way of pounding the pavement. And so if you love a particular neighborhood, like the West End as an example, just walk the streets and look for rent sign. And again, those people that aren't quite comfortable with technology, they're not going to be relying entirely on technology. My mother always reminds me, not everybody has a computer. Not everybody wants to use a computer. Of course, that's typically an older generation, but that older generation is more likely to be the kind of people that, you know, own those individual small buildings or individual units. And so just pounding the pavement, exploring a neighborhood is kind of like a secret weapon in finding a rental in what, even when the market is soft, is still a pretty challenging rental market. And the other thing that I want you to keep in mind is also accessing property managers. And as I said, property managers exist in our market. It is a type of real estate license that we have in our market. And there are people who hire property managers to manage their properties. It's more likely that they represent large corporations that own entire buildings. But there are investors that own units in throughout Metro Vancouver that hire property managers. So reaching out to property managers isn't a bad idea. But just keep in mind that that property manager doesn't work for you. They work for the landlord. And they're not going to scour the entire market for the best fit for you. No, what they're going to do is they're going to look at the stable of properties that they manage. If you approach them and they manage 150 units, well, they're going to tell you yes or no, whether they have a property within those 150 units that might suit you or not. So you can't just go to one property manager and expect that they're going to help you find the best property that's out there. You're going to want to go to dozens and dozens of different property managers, reach out to them, talk to them, call them. And that's another sort of extra step that you could take rather than just looking at websites. And you might get into something faster that way. You might get a better property. You might get a better deal by doing that. But it is a lot of legwork. It's a lot of effort, but it is a way that you can get an advantage over other people that are looking for rentals in our market. So now let's talk about cost. What does it cost to rent in Metro Vancouver? And I'm sure if you're looking at moving here from somewhere else, or if you are already here, you already know just how expensive our market is. And that's true whether you're looking to buy or you're looking to rent. The reality of renting is that the highest cost is really in the downtown core. core. It's in the areas that are most proximal to the downtown core, where land is most expensive, and thus the cost of owning real estate is most expensive, and thus the cost of renting that out is also the most expensive. But in recent years, it's also become really increasingly expensive, not just in that core center, but also in the areas that are most convenient outside of that core center and that have the quickest connection to that core. So we're seeing really dramatic rises in rental rates in areas that are really close to a SkyTrain station, that are really walkable, that generally have a positive reputation, and where a whole lot of development is happening. And where that development is happening is typically where you're going to find a lot of rentals. So I'm going to put up a chart basically comparing a couple of different marketplaces. And so you have an idea of the differences in rents from studios right through to three bedrooms. This information is taken from CMHC. It's the best source that I can find. Unfortunately, the most recent data that they have is from October 2024. Nothing more recent. And the market has softened up a little bit in the last 6 months or so. So I'd expect these rates to be lower than they are. I would also point out that these rates typically represent corporate landlords, apartment buildings, rather than individual landlords. And these rates typically are a little bit below what you're normally going to find as a total average. But I do find CMHC's data is the most accurate and the best source that I can really find. There's other stuff out there, but they really only aggregate their own data, the rentals that they advertise on their own website, which I don't think is terribly useful. So I like CMHC data. We're looking at, for downtown, as I said, this is where you're going to find rates are most expensive. But what I find interesting when you compare downtown to Mount Pleasant, both areas in the city of Vancouver, then Metrotown, that's dense area of the city of Burnaby. The city of Burnaby, incidentally, is the second most expensive rental market in the entire country, second or third. So unsurprising at the rates there. And then we step down to Surrey. And Surrey is pretty much one of the more affordable suburbs of the city of Vancouver. It has massive development that is happening. It is a huge area. In fact, very soon it's going to surpass Vancouver's population. The city of Vancouver is going to be surpassed by the city of Surrey in total population in just a few years because of the amount of development and the space that they have. But what I find interesting is that if you're looking for a studio, if you're looking at the smaller unit, the difference in value isn't all that big until really you get out into Surrey. But if you look at the rate of downtown to Mount Pleasant, even to Metrotown for a studio apartment, and really even for a one bedroom, the differences aren't enormous. And when you're looking at where you want to live in Metro Vancouver, you do want to put in the full cost of living in a certain place. So obviously your rent is going to play a part of it, but also what about the value of your time and the cost of commuting? And if you live in downtown Vancouver and you're actually working there and you're paying $1,783 per month to get a studio, is it worth saving $250 to live all the way out in Surrey, where it might take you almost an hour to commute into the city and it's going to cost you considerable amount of money, especially if it's a car? It's not going to be that much money, of course, if just taking transit in and you live on the SkyTrain, that's great. The other thing about Surrey, these numbers for Surrey that I want to point out, is there's more expensive and less expensive areas in Surrey. And this is just aggregated for the entire city. So this, you know, there's going to be some a little less expensive, but the areas that are most convenient and newer buildings are going to be more than this. But the other thing I want to point out is the vast difference in the rental rates when you get into larger units. Downtown core, a three bedroom is typically an average of $4,800, almost $5,000 a month, where you go all the way out to Surrey and you're looking at just under $2,000 a month. I mean, what is that? 2.5 times the cost to live in downtown Vancouver? This is where it becomes pretty obvious what the right answer is if you're limited budget, right? And most of us are. And this is another reason why you see so many families move outside of the city of Vancouver, because the cost of owning or renting family size units is really extraordinary. And so paying $5,000 a month may not be worth it for a lot of people. And they might decide to move out to Surrey or out to Coquitlam or out to Mission, where the rates for rentals are going to be considerably lower. But I think it's really interesting to me that the smaller units, the price difference is much closer. And this would be a much more difficult decision if you're budget conscious. What makes sense for you? And you're going to have to figure that out for yourself. What will, you know, do you want the location or do you want to save a couple $100? Okay, so what about the secrets of securing a rental? Yes, I did say that Vancouver's rental market is a bit soft these days, but even in a soft market, I mean, the vacancy rate is 2.5% to 3%. That still means 97% of properties for rent are actually rented, and there's very limited supply that's out there. And there is still competition. We live in a very desirable city and there's always people moving here. So if you want to find the best property, the best value, and a bit of a deal, you're going to want to stand out in some ways. And so how do you stand out? Well, I would say approach it like a job interview, like you're trying to find your ideal job. You always always want to present well. You always want to be professional. And that includes the way that you communicate with people. And that includes the way that you present yourself. So dress well, be on time, respond promptly, be eager, be friendly. When you show up, have a list of references. Have an introductory letter. If it's you and more people, maybe have a personalized photograph as well. Everything that you can do to kind of humanize yourself and connect with the other person is going to help you secure that rental, right? And be prepared to share credit information, rental history, employment history, a letter of employment. Have everything ready that you know that they could be asking you for. You don't want any kind of delay in the process, because if it is a good deal, if it is an amazing property, somebody else is going to snap that property up before you can blink. The other thing is, you really need to be persistent. It's sort of that idea of the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, just go after the thing that you really want. And that might be, if somebody says, you know, we're going to get back to you next week, well, check in with them in a couple days. Say, look, I really love that place. I want to make sure that I get this unit. What can I do to get it? And maybe call them again and follow up again and connect with that landlord or the property manager. Try your best. And of course, check websites all the time. You always want to be on those websites, the Craigslist and the Facebook Marketplace, and on the MLS. Always checking for the new listings, the latest listings. The faster that you respond, the more likely you're going to be at the front of the line for the best units that are out there. And most importantly, just don't get discouraged. Even in this rental market that we're in currently, that's a little bit softer. Like I said, it can be competitive and things do move quickly. Yes, maybe the ideal place just got rented and maybe you lost that place, but there will be another. We live in a pretty fluid marketplace. We live in a big city. There are options out there. So I would encourage you just to go at it hard, do your best, be consistent, be persistent, and be professional and friendly. And at the end of the day, you're going to find the right home, the perfect fit. I put this video together basically just to help you. There's nothing that I personally get out of this video. If you're looking at moving to Vancouver and looking at renting a place, I can't benefit professionally. I can't work for you, unfortunately. So this information is completely free. I'm doing this as a public service. But if you'd like to pay me back, if you'd like to give something back to the community, I have an offer for you. I have something that you can do. Later this year, I'm going to be trekking in Cambodia, and I'm going to be doing that to help some of the most destitute people in our community. I'm raising funds and awareness for a women's shelter on the downtown east side. That's the UGM Sanctuary Program, something that I'm very passionate about, something that I've done for a very long time. I've been raising funds and awareness for nearly 20 years for the community. So if there's anything that you'd like to give back to the community as a return the favor for all of the information that I'm providing, I'd really appreciate it. The link's going to be down below. Thank you so much for considering. Let's get back to the video. All right, there's three things that can make renting in Vancouver even more challenging. As challenging as the market is, there's three positions you could be in that could make it even harder. I want to help you navigate that a little bit. So number one is coming here and renting with children. I know it doesn't sound great, but yes, the reality is that it can be more difficult to find a rental when you have young children, or actually really children of any age. Most landlords would prefer that you're a single person or a couple. I mean, every landlord kind of has their own quirks, their own ideas of what the best tenant is, and they can make their own decisions about who they end up renting for. Some of these things are a bit of a gray area. Some are actually totally illegal. But the reality is, somebody can choose to rent to somebody with kids or without them. It's completely really their prerogative. So if you're coming here with children, you have to realize that there's not going to be every situation that a landlord's going to be super excited to be renting from you. They're going to worry about the noise that's created if they live above, as an example, or if another tenant lives in the building. And if you have three young children, as an example, like I have four young children, I know that a lot of landlords would be pretty hesitant to rent to a family of six. They're going to worry about the noise. They're going to worry about the wear and tear on the home. And so that can be a difficult position to be in. The other position that can be challenging is when you're coming here with pets. Not every landlord is going to want to rent to you if you have pets, and most specifically dogs and certain breeds of dogs. And if you have large dogs, if you have dogs that are considered a vicious breed, you might find it more challenging in Metro Vancouver as well to rent a place. And typically, if they do allow pets, they're most likely going to be asking a bit of a premium on rent. And that might be the case with children as well. Now, the thing to note about pets is that some stratas, so if you're looking at a condominium building or a townhouse, those stratas might have their own bylaws, their own restrictions on the kind of pets that are allowed, which might be the breed, which might be the size, or it could be whether it's a cat or a dog or the number of dogs. And if you have three dogs, goodness, God help you, because it's going to be very challenging. Typically, the limit is two. And so more than likely, you're going to need to be looking at a house. Now, stratas typically don't restrict children. There could be restrictions on on the age. 55 plus is the restriction that's allowed now, but only one of the occupants has to be 55 plus. And if you're 55 plus and you have young children, it doesn't matter, then you're allowed to rent in that property. But you're still beholden to the specific landlord and their choice, whether or not they'd like to rent to you or not. And so in all of these, in both of those situations, whether you're coming with children or coming with pets, you can't hide it. Don't try and be underhanded about this. Be upfront. Just be honest about it. Offer to let them meet the kids or meet the dog. Definitely have a photo. Give them, maybe you also have a reference letter that sort of touches on it, maybe from your past landlord, or maybe in the case of a dog, a certificate that indicates that they've been through some kind of training. So some sort of assurance of the behavior is basically what might help with the landlord, but also humanizing once again with a photo and the opportunity to meet would go a very long way. And so when renting with pets, they can ask for an extra damage deposit, and they almost always will, but it is restricted to just half a month's rent. And that's something you want to be aware of, because if they're asking for more, they're trying to take advantage of you. Now, the other situation, the third thing that you need to be looking for when you're moving here from somewhere else is actually trying to rent from a distance. And as I said earlier, it's practically impossible. It's incredibly challenging if you have to rent from a distance. Most landlords and property managers want to see you face to face, and they have a slew of people that are willing to do that. So they don't need to go that extra step. For them, it's a risk. What they're going to be worried about is that you are trying to scam them, and they don't want to be scammed, and they want to meet you face to face. So there's going to be an expectation that you're present, that you're here in Vancouver, and that you can see the property and shake the property manager or the landlord's hand in person. And that's something that's going to be 99% of the time a requirement. And that's why it's so hard to rent a place from a distance. And that's why renting a short-term rental is kind of a good interim step. And something that I recommend to so many people that are moving here from somewhere else is scour VRBO, scour Airbnb for something that you can sort of use as a stepping stone when you arrive here in Vancouver just for a short term, and then use that time to really actively figure out exactly where you want to rent in the long term or purchase in the long term here in Metro Vancouver. I just want to make sure that you're aware about a situation in our rental market that frustrates a lot of tenants, and specifically that's how you could lose your home. So there's only two reasons once you sign a lease that you could be asked to leave that property. And it's only if the lease is not a fixed term lease. So if you're basically on this month to month tenancy, in that case, the landlord can ask you to leave for one of two reasons, and one of two reasons only. And one is if they want to do a significant renovation on the property. And the other is if it's for the landlord's use. So this significant renovation is typically called a renoviction. And the rules have been tightened up around that, where now the landlord has to go to the landlord tenancy branch and convince them that they need you to get out of the property in order to do this renovation. And if they can, then they have to give you 4 months notice. So that's a very significant amount of time. And not only do they have to give you 4 months notice, but they also have to give you the last month free. So that is one reason that you might be asked to leave. And keep in mind, these rules are accurate in the summer of 2025, and these things do change over time. So I want to put that caveat out there that you do want to double check this information if you're viewing this video down the road. The other reason that they could ask you to leave is if it's for the landlord's own use or a close family member. And in that case, they have to give you 3 months notice and the last month free rent. And this does not have to go through the landlord tenancy branch, but you are able to appeal it if you feel that this has not been done properly or if they're not being honest. And these days, this is happening much less commonly because the penalties for landlords lying about this are so enormous. And typically what you can get as a tenant in compensation if it's found that the landlord was not telling the truth is somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 months rent back in cash. So if you're paying $3,000 a month, that would potentially be as much as $36,000, which is a pretty significant sum and would break most landlords. They do not want to play that game. And so more often than not, they are telling the truth, but it is something to keep in mind. These are the two main reasons that you might lose your home over time. The renoviction one is a little more likely when you're renting from a corporation, and the landlord's use is a little more likely when you're renting from an individual landlord. And so both of these end up motivating tenants in the long run to feel like owning is something that they would like to do. Of course, it has to be within your financial capacity, but more often than not, this is something that's highly frustrating to people renting in British Columbia. Both of these ways ways of being pushed out of rentals. Okay, so now let's talk about some of the minutiae around signing a lease and the things that you should know about it. Now, the first thing that you should know, I touched on it earlier, is that finding a rental is something that you typically only do in the month before the rental is to begin. So that's when landlords are typically looking, because a tenant only has to give a landlord 1 month notice that they're going to vacate. And that's typically how properties are vacated and where there's turnover in tenants. As a result, if you're looking for a rental 6 months in advance, you're not really going to have much luck or any luck, because no landlord is looking that far in advance. Within 1 month is most common, maybe within 2 months, but anything more than that is highly, highly unusual. So don't come here with that expectation. Expect if you need a place on July 1st, you want to be here at the very beginning of June, possibly the very last week of May, but definitely that first week of June in order to secure a place for the beginning of July. Now, the other thing to note is that the beginning of tenancies is typically the first of the month. And so the landlord is going to want you to start your tenancy on July 1st. Sometimes these tenancies begin in the middle of the month, and sometimes it is July 15th or the 15th of the month. I was talking to a client just the other day, and they were telling me they were having a really hard time because they wanted a tenancy to begin in the middle of the month. They didn't want to pay that extra half month. And they were just getting a resounding no from every single landlord that they approached. Every single landlord they approached wanted them on the first of the month. And then the landlords discovered how challenging the rental market was. And they ended up coming back to this potential tenant saying, hey, are you still looking? Okay, now we're going to consider the middle of the month. So the general preference of the landlords is that you begin your rental on the first of the month. And if that coincides with what you want, it's going to be easier for you to find the best values and the best kind of properties that are out there. The other thing to note is a landlord can request a half month damage deposit. They can also request, if you have pets and if they're allowing pets, a half month pet damage deposit. So that combines to a full month as a damage deposit, as well as the first month. So once you sign the lease, expect that you're going to be giving them a check for the first month and as well a check for the damage deposit. But that's basically all that they're allowed to ask for. So if there's more money that they're asking for, keep in mind, that's a bit of a sign that there's something shady going on here. This might be a bit of a red flag. Also, you want to know that leases tend to be anywhere from 6 months to a year. But again, the preference of a landlord is that you sign a lease for a year period. And this is going to basically protect both of you, that there's nothing going to change for that year-long period and that you have this property secured. At the end of that one-year term, let's say, which is most typical, the tenancy is automatically going to go month to month. And that's something that, you know, you still have rights as a tenant. You don't necessarily need to renew to a lease, fixed term lease, but it might be in your interest and it might be in the landlord's interest as well. Keep in mind, for you as a tenant, if you do have a fixed term lease, you're not going to be able to get asked to leave for the landlord's use. And so that does protect you in a lot of ways, that you're not going to unexpectedly lose your home. If you are in month to month, that is where you're more likely to find you might be asked to move because the landlord sells to somebody who wants to move into the property. All right, so we talked all about where rentals are, what kind of properties are out there, how much they cost, and how you can find them and secure them. But now I want to talk a little bit about avoiding scams, because that is a part of our market. That is a reality of our market, unfortunately. And you, as somebody who's potentially moving here from somewhere else, are really the target because of the nuances of our rental market, because of the fact that nobody's professionally working this market and representing you as a potential tenant. And because it's so challenging to do this from a distance, you are the target. And so you need to be really, really aware. And if there's red flags, if you feel uncomfortable, you need to trust your gut and walk away from stuff. You're going to find it's almost impossible to rent from a distance. Please take my advice there. If it is too easy, if there are too many yeses, if they seem too desperate, that is a sign that it is a scam. Also, if you notice grainy photographs, it is clear that those photographs have been copied from somewhere else. And please be aware when somebody is using really, really bad photographs of a property. If they're not willing to show you through a property, if they're not willing to meet you at the property, those are all signs of a scam. So again, please trust your instincts, trust your gut, and avoid all of these red flags. I do not want you to get scammed. It can be incredibly heart-wrenching and destroy your experience of moving to Vancouver for the very first time. Please come here first, rent a place, whether it's short-term, ideally short-term, and then once you're here, find that long-term rental so that you can actually meet the landlord and you can see them face-to-face and you can see the property. You really need to be able to walk through that property to make sure that you're not getting scammed. And so if you are moving to Vancouver and you're thinking of purchasing a home, whether you're short-term renting in the beginning or maybe maybe renting for a little bit, but ultimately want to own, or you want to start off by owning a property here in Vancouver. Of course, I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families do exactly what you're trying to do. Move to Vancouver, find the right neighborhood, and find the right home. Like I said, hundreds of families, and I can help you and your family as well. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. And be sure to reach out anytime, whenever it's convenient for you. However you'd like to reach out, feel free to do that anytime. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next week.